For someone who doesn't like talking publicly, Jani chatted for over 2 hours straight on the Honeycast. That's way longer than the average attention span of a bearer. So we're going to break this thing up into 3 deliciously digestible chunks. So here it is, The Janitor, Episode 1, The Fellowship of the Broom. Enjoy.
That's a good job, said Smokey the Bear.
Bear is his preferred good sir.
Henlo and Ooga Booga. Today we've got a pretty big episode, potentially our biggest yet. We have a figure, a mysterious person. Nobody knows who is the janitor. A mysterious figure entered the den in 2021, buying bears in bulk. Who is the janitor? The one who sweeps? Who's trading 2 bears for 1 bear? The man, the small speaker himself? Who is the janitor? On this episode of the Honeycast, we find out. How's it going, guys? We got the regulars.
Hello.
How's it going, Dubskis?
Hey, Dubskis.
Good, sore?
How are you, Nap?
Doing great, man. How you guys doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, it is a big one today.
I think, Ketez, you want to intro our guest?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to top what you just laid down there, but yeah, the moment has come to finally hear the janitor. Welcome to the Honeycast.
The janitor's voice has been modulated to keep him anonymous.
G'day, Barracunts. How you going? Look, that intro's a bit fucked me, yeah, because you've already had Smokey on. So these are big shoes to fill. I'll try my best. Thanks for having me on. In all honesty, I'm very fucking nervous. I don't like talking on the phone. I much prefer small shit posting on the internet, but I trust in Tez's editing skills to you.
Are you Jaws? Straight up.
Do you want the long answer or do you want the short answer?
I think I want the long answer.
You want the small answer.
I'm an Ewok. The longer answer is, I'm an Ewok that grew up with an internet connection, spent a lot of time on the internet. That's pretty much not really changed. And have been around the Ewok village for a little while with people involved in this sector. You see a lot of shit from that particular perspective when you're like, no taller than a tabletop. So sometimes like real big brains will be speaking around you. And it's because it's like that kid effect where you're at knee level and they kind of forget that you're there. So you might be kind of left curve. And it's not that when you're around big brains, you kind of understand much of what they're saying, but you can kind of NSA it. You can kind of go, okay, I don't understand what is the content of what they're speaking about, but I see that person is speaking to that person and they're going off and doing this thing. Basically, the long and short of it is I've just kind of, that's me. So I don't know if that clears things up for you, but yeah, there you go.
That explains everything.
Does it? All right, I'll ask you later what that meant.
To me, it sounds something like an ass eater would say. But...
Oh, yeah. So I don't know where to start. Basically, I heard about the bears from someone who was working at Olympus, one of these kind of right brain folks. And I was like, hey, what's the deal? What's going on? He's like, get into this thing. It's a fun game. So kind of I jumped into more or less straight into Rari. Shit was going off. It was like November kind of exhilaration, end of the spectrum. But, you know, I've had a few cycles without completely blowing up now. I've been on the merry-go-round a while. And so, like, that moment where I was like, I am the smartest Ewok in village, it was at that point I was like, okay, I need to rotate this into something. And it was around that time I was like, what's this whole NFT thing? Because I've kind of missed the boat on that. So I went to this same friend and I was like, what's the deal with NFTs? And he was like, it's not really my scene, but all of the right of the right curve are kind of into these bears smoking bongs. And so I was like, say less, I'm in. And that's when I came in hard. I should say, like, because I've been in this game a while, I put in very little money. It's just that I've been going around and around and haven't blown up yet, which is better than, I guess, 99% of the big funds out there at the moment. So at times there's this weird relationship where you're spending a lot of fucking money on pictures of bears smoking bongs. At the same time, I didn't really put in a lot of money at the beginning, so it's kind of this unusual relationship where if you think about it in your like how much you would be paid in a normal job is eye-watering. When you just think about it as kind of weird internet money, it's, the relationship is strange. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I came in hard, is a strange relationship to this funny internet money. Felt like I was the smartest Ewok in the village, and I was like, okay, I need to kind of get out of this thing whilst the going is good. And was lucky enough to land into what has turned out to be kind of pristine bearer collateral.
Gotcha. So it's like the little Ewok that could. You survived enough cycles and you found the bears. What were your thoughts on the actual art of them? You said there were some right curvers all piled up in this community. What did you think about the bong bears themselves?
The art's good. And they're good JPEGs. I mean, look, anyone who doesn't look at these cute little pictures and think these are objectively good bears, you know, I question this bull's taste. I question their sensibilities. There's a lot to question about that kind of thing, and I think it kind of tells you a lot. But anyway, so I was, I kind of take notes from my cousin, Paddington Bear from the UK, Mum and Tucker sandwich fame. Shout out Paddington, and his whole thing is, you know, just keep going with the ride. And so that's a bit why I decided to stick around with the bears and kind of figure out what the deal was, because I'm a bit of that disposition where you kind of ape in first and then figure out what you've done afterwards.
I guess just to get the timeline straight, did you say it was around November-ish that you started kind of getting your nose into the bears? And that is maybe before whispers of the Ooga Booga chain were on the wind. So were you a pre-bearer chain rumor bearer, would you say?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, nice. Just had a good intuition, had a good taste. Okay.
He looked at the picture, said, this is clearly the future of France.
No. What happened was, I was like, what are NFTs? They seem stupid. And my friend was like, these right curve, right, super right. So we're talking like the Zeus's, the Wattles, the DCFs.
Yep.
And my friend was like, look, I'm not going to fuck with this shit. It's not really my thing. But since you've asked me the question, look at those people. And what's that? Canadians don't go where the puck is, go where you think it is. It's like, oh, okay, well, they seem to be playing over there, so I'll go in that direction. I don't know why they fuck they would, but I'm going to follow suit. And then in terms of timeline, because I spent so much time on the internet computers, once I actually started understanding, by this point, I was like, what's the deal here? So I was looking at the contracts, doing a bit of sniffing around because, you know, one of this Ewok's past lives do stuff around data analytics and this type of thing. So I'm used to sleuthing through spreadsheets and boring bits of data. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. So if I understand this correctly, here's this whole bunch of bears up here, which are due more bears, but they haven't been claimed. And so I kind of swept them up and then claimed a whole bunch more from that. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a fun game. And by that point, I was hooked, you could say. At that point, the game was interesting and funny enough. And I think I'd seen a tweet by DCF Guard saying something to the effect of, if you're playing the NFT game, you can bifurcate, you can split into two main strategies. One is to kind of go for this really super valuable ones. However, it's probably a safer bet to go for the floor things, because that's where probably the most liquidity is going to be. And at that time, you know, it's the saying from June.
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
I was like, okay, he who controls the floor controls the bear of us, or however you want to frame it. And so it's at that point, I was like, okay, let's see how the bears are feeling about this. So then I was offering deals where ostensibly in the immediate moment, I was leaving ETH on the table. So in some cases, I was willing to swap, say, one bond for three booze. And the way it was priced at the time, it was people were kind of making between, I can't remember, 0.2, 0.5 ETH on that deal. So I think a lot of people are like, who's this fucking idiot? And but to my mind, I was like, well, if we're going to play this out, and this collection does catch on, and if you follow the line of thinking that the low bears are going to be the ones with the most liquidity, and if I have more bears in hand, one bear does not equal one bear equals two of the next bear. I don't know. That's kind of why I went down that route. It was thinking on a different time frame than other people were. I don't know. Did anyone trade with Janitor at the time? Like, why did you? What was the...
Yeah.
Did you feel like you were getting a good deal, or what was the story there?
Yeah, no, Danny, that's a great point. I think you and I did some deals back then, and I think ones that I really liked was the Band Bears and the Babies, I believe. It was like you got two bands and you got one baby. That was a pretty good one. Another one was, I think it was Two Boos for a Bond, because I at the time was also like looking ahead and I figured, I'm like, okay, there's only 126 of these Bond Bears. And at the time I didn't have an OG. So I sort of settled. I'm like, okay.
Right. You've traded your way to Valhalla. You're like the American story, you know, that one where you're like coming over with just a knapsack on your back, like Paddington, and you've kind of...
like Don Corleone.
You got right up there. And didn't you get your the Bong Bear from Nap?
No, I got it from No Sleep.
No Sleep, shit. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, we're twins, actually. We both... with the honey jar.
Oh, the glitchy. Yeah.
But no, that's exactly what happened, right? Like, I just kept trading my way up through that entire year without really adding any extra liquidity. And then for me, that Bond Bear gave me ability down the line to be able to trade up to the OG. So for me, it was advantageous.
Same for me. I had a Boo Bear with the Agora themed one. That one was one of my best trades with the
that
janitor
was you.
For sure. That was me, sir. I have Bond Bear number one.
Oh, cool.
That was you. I remember I put up a bounty. I was like, who is this? Villa,
exactly.
That was you. Put up a bounty and I was like, let's bring this familiar home. And then, because look, here's the thing, that they started out as mid-curves, I'd say, like Mark 11 and all the fucks over there. They were like, I don't fucking get this shit. Why is everyone so into these bears? Whatever. And then the thing for me is, I don't know, we can get into the honey jar and all that shit down the line, but at its heart, who is janitor is just someone who likes to do funny shit with people, and I like to have fun, and I like to find people who find stupid shit funny. And for me, it's there's like something, we live in strange times, and when people sometimes kind of stick to their guns about things, people are not quick to change their minds about things once they've kind of lodged into a position. And seeing, like, for example, in that situation, the folks over at Agora kind of change their minds about things. It's like, there's something interesting going on here where I don't know if it's the art, I don't know if it's the whatever. If someone's like publicly says, I think this thing is stupid, and then at another point goes, okay, I like this thing now. To my mind, I'm like, oh, that's some secret sauce right there, because that's cool. Because these stories we tell ourselves, like, oh, I'm not into computers, or I don't like money, or what's that DeFi thing is stupid. That's really at its core what we're fucking with when we're playing in these realms. We're kind of making a gambit, a gamble on someone will change their mind. They will go from thinking, this thing is stupid, through to, I like this thing. And so when I saw early signs of that in and around the Omis and Bong Bears, like the, I don't know, still can't put my words around it, but that shit really, you know, interests me. And yeah, there's a whole lot of it going on in and around the bears, which is, yeah, the magic that I'm hoping we can tap into a bit with some of the shit that we're doing. And I think we have. I think that's why, regardless of what else has been happening, the people working on it, one thing that you can say about us is we've been having a lot of fun doing it, and it's been hilarious. Ignoring everything in the outside world, the small group of people working on it has been having fun. And that to me is kind of, there's a lot of, hey, do you know what I just realized? You may notice this about me. I go off on really random tangents and I talk for a long time, which is an editor's nightmare. So if at any point you have a structure in mind, like Honeycomb or whatever, pull me in, because, you know, this is why I don't talk very much. I just end up talking like
a... No, this is really interesting. I think there's a lot to digest here.
Because there's so much mystery around you, and we really understand your perspective on the bears and the community. Ramble away, please.
Right. Well, where were we? Where should we go next?
Well, actually, I had a question for you, Jani. So I'm getting a bigger picture here, sort of your thought process along this way. You said that you were seeing characters like DCFs, characters like Zeus.
The right brainers.
I noticed you document this journey so brilliantly along your tweets before you had any followers, when it was just, you know, a few bears, before you even joined the Discord channels. You really only joined more recently, yeah, the past couple of months.
Yeah, I know. I was getting rugged hard. Every time I joined Discord, it would, like, boot me out for having too many different identities.
Get out of here!
And I was just like, ah, this is long, fuck it. But Twitter was easier, so I just stuck there, you know what I mean?
Gotcha. Oh. See, that does make a lot of sense. But why go with the personality? Because you could have done all that without helping the community. So is this for fun? Chaos, like you say in the honey jar?
Yeah. Like, because it's funny to me.
Very funny, bitch. Very funny!
So I've been in and around this space for coming up to 10 years, and I have built up reputations in this space from scratch a lot of times. And there's the reason I do that is to keep it interesting for myself. It would be too easy for me to say, hey, I'm this person who's done this before. And then it would commingle all of these different things that I've been doing or that I've done. And it kind of collapses some of the possibilities for what is possible. And so, yeah, I didn't even enter this identity as Deep Name Janitor with any plan in mind other than this is blowing off steam and it's funny. And to be honest with you, there's one of the points I tried to get to with that, the cult and Berachain article, and kind of tapping into a bit of from past internet, because I've spent many decades now in IRC chat rooms, BB message boards, like GeoCity, all of these just weird places where this was in a time in the internet where it was pre email login, where it's bound to, you know, the kind of web 2 paradigm of login with Facebook or login with Google, where it's kind of increasingly bound to some kind of meet space passport identity. I come from a time where, you know, on the internet, no one knows you're a dog. So on some forum around some niche interest, I would be a goblin. Or in another forum, I would be like Bob629 or whatever. And that heritage is where a lot of the stuff that we see on the internet that we interact with, that's maybe underneath the shiny surface, is built on. And so my first inclination when I'm entering into a new zone is to start as an egg and then just build your way up from there. And so one of the things from the cult article, which I think is we've got it going on with the bears, is the barrier to entry is very low. And shout out here to Carlius, because I was an egg, zero followers, zero whatever. And I was just chatting to myself from this egg profile on Twitter. It took maybe one day for Carlius to kind of message or respond to me back. And I think that gesture, it pulled me in a bit. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. This is a scene where they don't care if you're an egg with no backstory, with no name, with no picture. Like, they'll interact with you. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you're either messaging some Russian or Korean bot or AI or GPT, or you're messaging a human, right? And if you're messaging a human, each interaction that we have, you know, it's going to set off a whole massive fireworks of kind of connections in our brain, because we're social creatures, right? And so, yeah, Carlius kind of was the first person to message me. And I think the bears are a bit rough around the edges. It might be, you know, Socrates with the kind of town jester, kind of like speaking truth to the naked emperor.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Or it could be some like Henlo Ooga Booga. But there's interaction, right? And I think that's one of the ingredients to a really vibrant, engaged set of people coming together, pouring their attention into something in common. And I think when you have those things, groups of people pouring their attention into something in common and interacting with each other, I've seen this time and again on the internet going back decades and decades and decades. Weird shit can happen from that. Super weird shit. And I'm easily distracted. I'm easily bored. And those ingredients provide enough chaos, or at least the foundations for chaos. Why would I not opt into, rather than, you know, coming in with an established identity and then people responding to me in a particular way that's already predefined to some degree?
Yeah.
So that's a long answer, but if you're out there, if you're listening to this, interact with new people. You don't know who's on the other side of that account. It could be someone who will introduce a whole new paradigm of weirdness into our culture. And yeah, I don't know. I rate that about everyone who's stuck around in the bears.
Yeah, with that being said, shout out to new bears in voice chat, eh?
And shout out to to Socrates as well. That was a lovely way to put it. Would you say that the town gesture calling out the naked emperor, that's a perfect way to describe him, in my opinion.
I call it shit posting to the highest degree.
Yeah.
The man's a legend at it.
The man is a way of words.
Oh, triple A rated shit posting.
They're like mushrooms. Feed them shit and keep them in the dark.
But yeah. Here's the thing. It's like, I haven't really seen many of Socrates' posts where I'm just not like, this is a genuine public service.
Yeah.
Because, you know, groupthink is a real thing. So like, if you look at BAYC, any of these kind of like multi-level marketing, kind of more corporatized blue chip things, way of thinking that it really encourages this really strong in-group out-group dynamic. And in the sense that, like, anyone who might come in with genuine critiques around, or criticism, or like thoughts which might deviate from the dominant narratives within this thing, because if we're real with ourselves, a lot of this stuff is just operating on the greater fool theory of, like, you want to get in low and dump on someone else's head who's later. But, like, if we acknowledge that as a feature of the game, like, that is this PvP aspect, I think there are, like, more and less interesting ways that we can play this knife fight. In some of those kind of, like, bigger blue chip things, it's like you can't even shitpost about a thing without necessarily getting ejected from the community or completely, like, barriered. And so I think having folks who are willing to fudge your own bags to such an excessive degree is a public good. And the reason for that is, I think everyone who is like that, things like you wouldn't get in the car super drunk, you wouldn't use a chainsaw and acid. A lot of people, when they're sitting down at the online casino, should be feared with fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They really should be, right? And ideally, we want a situation where, you know, I talk a good talk, but in reality, I ape in, I think about it later. But it's the FUD that's present that makes me double check. Because I think without these kind of, I guess, like, safety mechanisms, it can really easily just veer into very addictive, very presently available shit that you can go too far with. And I think we can't really do anything about all of that. But the presence of FUD that's generated from within a community that's accepted, copy-pasted to shit, it doesn't let you forget. You don't have a safe space in the bears. You know what I mean? It's like, if you are unwilling to actually engage with the idea both that this might be generational wealth or it could be our ruin, I think is the best we can hope to achieve, given that we are playing in this, like, PvP knife fight kind of context that is markets and casinos and capitalism or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely an aspect of why I really love this community so much. There's always that counterpoint, there's that check. Like, community will never let itself get too over-evangelized by the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And there will be those kind of sobering moments, those copypastas that try to keep people grounded as much as possible, even though they're still so excited about what's going on, what the bears are building. No, I totally agree.
Wait, Tess, when did you get into the bears, Tess?
I'm not as smart as you. I was watching from the sidelines for quite a while, and then I didn't.
Johnny's not smart, fam.
Well, you're definitely smarter than me. I'll give you that. You definitely saw the writing on the wall before I did. So I was very bear adjacent, like, you know, Omi and
Jenny can't read writing on the wall. But go on, sorry, I keep interrupting you.
You're right. But I think my story is quite boring. But yeah, I was heavily in redacted, and then, like, it was kind of in that world that I saw what the bears are doing, and I really loved the sense of humor and just that. Yeah, I felt like I could have so much more fun over in Bearland. So I just found myself being more and more drawn to it over time. So probably really got heavily into it around maybe April last year, I would say. Yeah.
Would you say it was, like, the fun aspect of the culture ticket that kind of pulled you over?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was the fun aspect.
Did I hear right?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. And also just seeing, like, people like Smokey and like Dev and those guys, when they speak, they're very articulate and concise what they're saying, but they'll also undercut themselves with humor. And I was like, okay, I'm very drawn to the way that they have created this community. Yeah, I guess that's how I'd say it.
And Tube, what's your deal?
Tube's an OG.
Yeah, I just bought a Bayer JPEG. Now I expect the future of finance to come to my wallet.
You were, what, OTOG, and then one of the ones who was there at mint time?
I wasn't around mint time. I saw the mint, but I didn't get to the actual OpenSea until after mint. They sold out fairly quick.
Hat tip to you, Uncle Chu. I forget. When did you get sucked into the madness?
I was an OG Olympus OT shit poster.
Sorry for your loss.
We, you know, the ohm loss is the bear win. So, you know, I just happen to keep it because I like the art like everyone else, and the rest is history. I just keep accumulating, and it's pretty funny. You know, you talk about how FUDDing is important, and Olympus was the greatest FUDDers around. And it turned out to actually be true. So you just got to hope that the bear FUD is a little less realistic. But I mean, you made a good point, I think, about how sometimes, like, I think these blue chip communities tend to take themselves way too seriously. And the fact that a lot of these big
communities with their high priced JPEGs, they forget that they're just holding a fucking picture, right? Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, any wealth that comes to you, you just chose to buy the right picture. And so when you look at the bong bears, this is a picture of a bear smoking weed. Like, you cannot possibly look at this art, as great as it is, which I love, you can't possibly look at it and say, like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to ban someone for talking bad about my picture from in Discord. Like, that would never happen, because it all comes down to just, we're all just having fun out here. And that's pulled Tez in. I'm sure it pulled most of the community in. And that's what I love about it so much.
Can I circle back to
Mo?
Choop was a bit...
I'm just fucking with you, God.
No, you're right. Hey, this is my fucking podcast, mate.
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Oh, no, Choop, he undersold himself a bit. I'm just kidding. He undersold himself a bit, because he that's not the story I fully heard. Like, he was like, okay, these guys in Off Topic in Olympus, like, he's like, he got a vibe. He's like, these guys are onto something. These guys are thinking a little different. Isn't that fair to say, Choop? That's why you followed the bears from the start.
Yeah, 100%. The cult that was thick on Olympus Off Topic was thick, you know, with the communist hats and just talking shit to anyone who was selling Olympus at the time, telling them they're never going to make it, you know, 3-3 or die. You know, they didn't understand it. Our Ohm. They didn't get it. You know, they were off there selling Our Ohm in a different channel. And that cult just in one channel from another was thick, 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 like the honey that's coming out of the...
Beautiful. Nice. Well, speaking of honey, from what I understand, you have a little project going on the side here called the Honey Jar. Should we maybe talk about that a little bit? What do you reckon?
Look, I was writing some notes, and here's some other alpha for you that, you know, I've got a very particular view. So I know things that you wouldn't even know how to ask a question to get the answer out of me. So I'm just going to give this to you.
Oh, beautiful.
So when I came in, swept some shit, unlocked a whole bunch of other bears, was doing this interesting, what was perceived as interesting swaps that kind of maybe didn't make sense. I was at the time paying above market, saying, right, if you actually want your bear to be swept, list them on OpenSea for 3.3 ETH or 4.2 ETH for bonds. The other ones were for booze. Because that's kind of a chaos thing to do, I think at some point, Smokey, from the Bong Bear's Twitter accounts, slid into my DMs and was like, yo, what's your deal? Please keep this on the down low. We're building an L1. Would you be interested in kind of hearing more about it? And I was like, at the time, I was like, yeah, okay. People who draw pictures of bears smoking bongs are building an L1. Like, get real. So I think I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And then left him on read for quite a bit. And then I think he looked back around and was like, hey, did you get a chance to read this? And it was the white paper. So I went in and I actually read it. And this is where the Ewok under the table thing is. So I was around a particular scene that was pre-Ethereum ICO. So I was like around with people in that era. And so I'd at that point read early versions of the Ethereum white paper. I'd read like the Polkadot white paper. I'd read the Cosmos white paper at the time that they were being made. When I sat and read this white paper, I was like, oh, okay, this isn't just some weird psyops. Actually, this, although it's kind of rough around the edges, is actually a lot of novel shit going on here. This was between the boo drop and the, what was the next one, babies.
And somewhere around November.
Yeah, it was like in the Bonga Bearer 101, we've got a good timeline, the history there. Nat, you did a stellar job, and then that piece was contributed to by a lot of different bears. But because I was like a tabletop Ewok, and, you know, I read these white papers and I was like, Jani cannot read, but seems big brain.
You'll notice that Jani's mic gets a little shitty right here. Don't worry, it won't last too long.
Because I was around, like, the tool bears at the time, I could see who these people who I know what they've done in the strange parts of the internet before blockchain and this type of thing, which technologies they were, like, getting behind, which ones they were using. And so I could piece together that this bearer chain thing was very interesting. So that's on the one hand. So let me give you a bit of insight into what I mean by that. Around 2017, 2018, there was this kind of like the kind of L1 emergence. So you had kind of initial launch of Ethereum around that time. You also had kind of the Polkadot paper coming out and the kind of Cosmos SDK. You had some other shit out there, but I'm going to ignore those for the time being. I was kind of doing data analysis at postgraduate at that point, so I was kind of a bit in the academic space, but still interested in what was going on in the blockchain space. And there was these cats who were doing research into kind of characterization of Bitcoin transactions out from Canada. There was some folks in the UK who started working with these same people. I think the paper was something like characterizing Bitcoin transactions and transactions made by men with no name or something like that. And I remember reading that at the time because it was kind of linked to something I was building as part of this postgraduate thing. And I remember that academic came over to London, which is where I was studying at the time, and started working with this other academic who was helping the Bank of England on like an early version of a central bank digital currency. And so I was talking because it was very early days. Like at that time, blockchain was like this, people were not deciding if they would call it like blockchain or distributed ledger technology. And it was like a very open space where you could more or less talk to anyone. I've spoken with and spent time with Vitalik. I've spoken with like the people who early started Polkadot, like Gavwood and all of that lot, Bucky from Cosmos.
The purpose of this game is to drop as many unknown names to someone as possible.
Not because I'm anyone special. I'm like a tabletop what cannot read and whatever. But because I was in the same room as these people, you're just chilling. It's a bit like an OT vibe. You have like left curve, mid curve, right curve, all in the same space. Because it was still super nerdy. It was like kind of fringe. This was pre-ICO era. This was pre like all of the major money stuff. It was still kind of niche and nerdy, which still exists as an energy, but by far and away, there's like a lot of other dynamics at play now. And the reason I bring this up is these people who were designing this kind of CBDC for the Bank of England, the problem the Bank of England were trying to solve is that 97% of the money supply in the UK is not created by the central bank, it's created by commercial banks. So, for example, you get new money in the system. Let's say I'm a bearer who's a bit made it, semi-made it, I'm a semi-bearer, and I go to take out a mortgage. If the bank kind of determines that, you know, I'm a reliable bearer and I will pay my dues to...
Jesus, Johnny, you can afford all these expensive JPEGs but not a decent mic? The fuck?
It's not like they shuffle out to the back of the bank and get like a little bit of gold and shuffle it around, or that they go to the central bank. That money is created out of thin air in that moment. That's like 97% of the money supply in the UK. So basically, the central bank in England doesn't know how much money is actually in the economy and all of these commercial banks. It actually just doesn't know until kind of these different settlement periods. And so there's this group of people who presented to those folks, hey, here's some systems that you can solve your problems with. Now, what the fuck are you talking about, Jenny? Why are you talking about central banks? Screw you. I thought we were here to talk about BEZ. Bear with me. These same people, right, were getting together at the time, and off the back of all of these different experiences, a team formed, right? I happened to be in a room with these people and at certain points because I was in the right place at the right time. And they formed a piece of technology. And at the time, they were selecting between Ethereum, Cosmos, and Polkadot. What they were creating ended up being and by the way, they went with Cosmos all the way back in 2017. They became the tech that was bought by Facebook to create their version of DM, right? Which is now being canned because of regulation and monopoly and all of the shit that Facebook has had to deal with. But the point of the story here is that teams who are trying to build shit for the Bank of England, who have been acquired by Facebook, suffice to say, these people are probably big brain to some degree, more than a tabletop Ewok. Kind of did an assessment of the cutting edge of technology at that point in 2017, and they chose the same technology stack that Bearer Chain. And to kind of follow that chain, that team kind of, because Facebook got canned, split out into a bunch of other projects in a nice loop. Like some of them went down the privacy tech route, another one went down kind of the, I guess you could call it either L0 or L1. Ended up, some of those teams have ended up being investors in Bearer Chain, and then another set have also been in that domain. So when Jani was looking at kind of the tech spec that is the white paper, that was like one thing where I was like, okay, this is legit and it's a big deal, and actually there's a lot of 0-to-1 innovations in here. And then the other one was list of investors and early angels that Jani saw. Because I've been around the block so many times, I knew all of these names. And interestingly, it's worth saying that one of the reasons that I'm also still super bullish on Bearer, and it was at that point I decided to jump in as a seed investor, is the quality of the investors is like top notch, but not top notch in the type of way where it's like all your usual names. It's like, oh shit, these are big brain independent thinking groups. And that's one of the reasons why in a post FTX kind of poison tree fallout, teams like Bearer Chain came out and say, we've had zero exposure to that. And that's for real, one of the reasons why, to my mind, it's really bullish when you see cats out on CD being like, I passed on the Bearer Chain round. I'm like, yeah, but that's because you're, you know, I'm sorry to say it, like mid-curve. Because you were looking for kind of tier one investment groups, the sorts who have now been like totaled. And because there's some, like, seeing inside the beast is like, Did you see the org chart that SBF cooked up? My days. If you think that the honey jar kind of dating system is complicated, have a look at that beast. Fuck me. If anyone should have looked at that and been like, this is pure opacity for the sake of something, like, it does not need to be this way. And simply because, you know, big characters were kind of in there, then it's this kind of cascade trickle. It's like, oh, that big name is in it, so then therefore I can just jump in because surely someone's done DD. And yeah, like, word on the street is like, you have a nose for, okay, these teams and this bucket over here, they're kind of trash regardless of what they're perceived in terms of tier, because like a lot of them don't bother doing DD. They're just purely in the game of, we need to distribute funds, like it's a spray and pray approach. And then you get a nose for teams where they actually take the time to understand shit and be more picky with where they're allocating funds, which was yet another thing. I think when the Bearer Chain crew actually do come out and go, yo, here are our backers, it's going to be like a bonfire. We're going to see another kind of flywheel effect with the good JPEGs and things. It's like, okay, it's yet another example where the quality of consideration is next level. I know that was a real long story.
I reckon.
Sorry for all of you kind of ADHD folk out there with very short attention spans, but, you know, you can always just fast forward for that last bit. I don't know, maybe put a trigger warning for talks about things, I don't know. The short story there is basically Bearer Chain is built on shit that, consider it like big brain shit. Take it from a tabletop Ewok who's been around and met these big brains.
Yeah, this is a theme I'm kind of gleaming from what you're talking about in this podcast, is you claim to be this tabletop Ewok that's not too far along the right side of the curve, but you're at least far along enough to know who the right people are, who the smart ones are, who the smart kids in the room are, and who to be paying attention to. This is what I'm gleaming is your strength, is you know who to keep an eye on and who to follow.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
You don't need to be right brain. As long as you accept being left brain, then you're good. Then you can observe without being defensive, you know? And then once you're able to observe the truth of the matter, that's what I mean. Like, a lot of what I do is just because I, you know, I want to have fun. And I notice people over on the right side of the curve are also having fun.
That's a great point, right? Like, what's the saying that I think Smokey said, and I think you've said it a couple of times, Janitor, the most entertaining outcome is the most likely.
Agreed.
Let's hope, eh?
I've heard a great quote from him as well, as I try to be where the puck is going.
Skate to where the puck is going.
You guys both share that.
Good Canadian proverb. Yeah.
In our scene, it's so you've got liquidity. Like, if you jump into an empty pool, you're not having a fun time. But also, if you're jumping into a full pool, but there's not a lot going on, you know, you can swim around by yourself for a while. That's fine. But if there's like a crowd there, or you're there with folks and there's a vibe,
more friends, more allies, more, I say.
That's also a different type of liquidity, attention. It's kind of the human nervous system collective vibe liquidity. And having both of those is, I think, in part what contributes to a sticky outcome. We can get into that later on. But yeah, it's a lot of this type of thinking that I think is fueling the honey chart. Whatever this is about, I think I sat down. Yeah, okay, take it away, Tez. It's your show. That's what I wanted to kind of...
No. We're pretty loosey-goose. Like, if you've got things you want to express, by all means, please. Like, if you've got more notes there you wanted to...
You're a loosey-goose. No, go for it.
You're good? Okay.
Okay, let's leave it there for now. Part 2 will be out soon. Mm.